Well, a few weeks ago, we talked about the shift in attendance among African Americans in evangelical churches. The Pew Research Center finds that only about 10% of African Americans in Georgia identified as evangelical Protestant in 2014. Nationwide, it's even lower, and all these numbers are going down. Fewer and fewer African Americans are attending evangelical churches. We talked about what's behind this trend with my colleague on the Mercer University faculty, Shaniqua Walker-Barnes. She says that she left her evangelical church because topics about race were rarely brought up.
There is a vast difference in terms of the approach to issues of race and really talking about race in terms of the background and the heritage of evangelicalism and when that initial split happened.
Now, Walker Barnes says that the split should be a matter of concern to all involved. Robert P. Jones agrees. He is the CEO of the Public Religion Research Institute.
Killings of African-American men by police. 75% of African-Americans say that's part of a broader pattern of how police treat African-Americans. Only 29% of white evangelical Protestants agree with that statement.
So that's what we talked about a few weeks ago. Now, to move that conversation forward, we welcome two evangelical pastors who are trying to change this narrative at their particular church. Tim Rogers and Catherine Gillard are co-pastors of New Life Covenant Church in Atlanta. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, just to be clear, you both identify as evangelical, and your congregation you would characterize as evangelical?
I would characterize it in the historical use of the word, not in the current use that's often used with the political connotations that come with it.
Okay, we'll unpack that in just a minute. It's a racially mixed congregation?
Yes.
50-50. What's the proportion?
50-50.
Okay. And you both as humans, as co-pastors, are a mixed group as well, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Tim is white. Catherine is African-American. Now, you heard the segment that we did on the show a few weeks back where we had three experts describing the evangelical theological tradition as being inextricable from racism, saying that it was historically, from a historical perspective, founded as an instrument of white supremacy and that it now supports political causes that perpetuate white supremacy. How would both of you respond to that?
Yeah, like I mentioned, I would hold to the theological convictions of evangelicalism that go back even before the founding of our country. So some of those theological convictions around scripture and salvation through Christ and others. But as it developed in our country and took on this, developed along lines of racism and political convictions that tend to be on the far right, I wouldn't hold those, and I don't think our congregation would hold those perspectives either.
Catherine?
Yeah, I think it's important that we remember the history, as was talked about on your prior show, of what led us to the point where we're existing today, but how we marry what we say we are and what we do in ways in which we are a stronger witness for Christ and not moved so much by the political sway or the cultural biases that are present everywhere. We tend to want to be people that's incarnational in our ministry, and which simply means that we talk about those issues that affect the people that are meeting there in our community of faith. It shouldn't be that we can't talk about anything in church and not only talk about it, but embody it in the way we live, in the way we care for one another, and the way we advocate for those who are being pushed to the margins.
So we've been talking about this because there's some new data indicating that African Americans are fleeing evangelical congregations in Georgia and nationally. What are some specific steps that y'all have taken as co-pastors to prevent that from happening at your church, which, as we mentioned, is an evangelical church in Atlanta that maintains a roughly 50-50 racial makeup, black and white?
Part of our call is to model what we believe, and so Pastor Tim and I both believe it's essential for us to be present as a white man. He resembles and represents all of the power-holding structures in the United States. As an African-American female, I am probably the most marginalized voice in the United States, and so together we share power, and that's a powerful witness for our congregation and those who come to witness what Christ can do in the midst of power sharing. But we don't always only talk about the dynamics of power and race and how we got there. We model it and we try to be formed and shaped by our history. Nothing in our history tells us that this is possible. If we look back on how we got to this place, we would leave the church as well. But we believe that we are called to do and model something differently.
And as we share,
go ahead, Tim.
As we share that power, that provokes a conversation, and so gender, race, they're continual topics that come up in everyday life, in our Bible studies, in our sermons. It's not forced; it's just part of who we are, and so it's a constant conversation for us.
Yeah, so it sounds like when a topic like Black Lives Matter is in the zeitgeist, it's something you don't shy away from in talking with your congregation. Tim, have you and Catherine made any adjustments to, forgive me for not knowing the terminology, but liturgical practices, just ways of doing things at the church to make the church structurally more inclusive?
Yeah, it's very important for us to think about how we worship together and what we model. So we have been intentional about having conversations as a faith community on a regular basis. This is not a topic that you can just have a workshop on and believe that you've settled anything. So we talk about it quarterly at what we call Ephesians 2:15 discussions, where we invite the whole community and our community of faith in to talk about issues of justice. We also have a year-long cohort for those who are experiencing that quarterly conversation that want to go deeper. And we come together once a month and we spend about 2.5 hours together talking about how we got to this place of segregation in the worship space. And then we also host an annual conference that will be coming up May 5th and 6th this year, where we invite people from all walks of life that are doing ministry in communities like ours, under-resourced communities, to come together and talk about how we model a different witness. And so the worship practices that we have had to change include how we begin to talk about the rallies that are going on in worship. How do we make space to lament with people who are in pain? How do we begin to help our congregation understand the importance of being registered to vote? How do we begin to talk about those issues that face you in your workplace, in the community, as our community is being gentrified? So we model that. We make space for it in worship. We talk about what the Word of God teaches us about being a stronger witness for caring for those who are being left out and pushed out.
Tim, in our last minute that we have to discuss this, if there's one tip that you could give to other pastors of historically white or predominantly white churches to make their places of worship more inclusive, what would it be?
I think you've got to decide if you really want it, truly, not just the assimilation that has generally been the route of what we would call a multicultural church, but if you really want the to go deep, it takes intentionality, and it's a long road, and so it can't just be a token investment. It has to involve long conversations, a reshaping of your worship, a willingness to enter into lament and to relearn your history, all these components that we have worked really hard at, but it's not a quick fix, and it has to go deep.
That's Tim Rogers and also Reverend Catherine Gillard. They are senior pastors of New Life Covenant Church, a racially mixed evangelical church in Atlanta. Thank you so much for this conversation.